Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Daily Guard Pass Combat Sports Show. I am your host, Chris Collins. I am recording today live from the kitchen at home as I make some dinner. So ignore any banging sounds, any clanking sounds or anything that you can hear in the background. That is me just rustling up some grub. And what a day. What a day it's been in the combat sports world. Tomorrow's show, we will dedicate to Canelo and Bivol. Obviously, the big boxing bout that's happening this weekend. But today, very much mixed martial arts heavy. Very much UFC heavy. And we will start, before we get into this weekend's UFC 274 card, we will start with that interview with Tony Ferguson. Wow, he did not hold back, did he? He didn't hold back. Referring to Dana White as a drug lord, saying that certain fighters have Dana White privilege. He went in on the UFC from not letting him go off and compete in other sports to fighter pay and all sorts of stuff. Not really hurt. Well, he's been outspoken before, Tony Ferguson. He's a bit of a live wire, isn't he, at times, but he's not really been terrifically outspoken against Dana White and the UFC before. So this was an interesting one, this, the interview that he's had in the last 24 hours. It's interesting, some of the comments he's come out with. And do I disagree with him? No, I don't think the fighters in the UFC are paid enough. Of course they're not. And this is obviously on the back of Dana White's interview that he thinks that boxers are overpaid. Absolute horseshit, as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of, apart from a handful of boxers at the very top of the sport, there's a lot of boxers that aren't very well paid at all, even worse than some fighters who on basic UFC contracts, 10 and 10, 10 to show, 10 to win. The fighter pay is not very well spread across the UFC and MMA. It's not very well spread across boxing at all. So I couldn't understand those comments from Dana White. I know what he's saying about building a business and all the rest of it, but that's businessman talk. That's not, you know, fighters who are dedicating their lives to getting punched in the head and taking damage on a daily basis talk. So can't get on board with that at all. Tony Ferguson made a lot of good points, but it's going to be very interesting to see how the reaction goes down from this, because he's got a very tough fight, and we will get into this in a second because we want to talk about UFC 274. He's got a very difficult fight coming this weekend. If he wins that fight, what are the UFC going to do with him? Because now he's a problem in the UFC's eyes, especially to Dana White. And if he loses, he has put an awful lot of pressure on himself now. He has put the crosshairs firmly onto the centre of his forehead. And if he doesn't get a result this weekend, that could be Tony Ferguson dumped out of the UFC. He's on a bad skid at the moment. He's took a few heavy losses. I mean, the Gaethje one in particular was not pretty to watch at times towards the end of that fight. And he's made it difficult for himself now, Tony, but maybe that's the way he likes it. Maybe he feels like putting a bit of pressure on himself with his comments. He's confident in his ability to get a win this weekend against Chandler. Who knows? But yeah, interesting day. Interesting comments coming out of Tony Ferguson's interview with the MMA media. And talking about interesting, let's get on to a very interesting card at UFC 274 this weekend in Phoenix, Arizona, in the United States of America. And all across the card, some very, very good fights, some very, very well-known names. Even sort of the early prelim card, I'm looking at Francisco Trinaldo and Danny Roberts. That's probably the highlight for the prelims, the early prelims. That is a great fight. You've got in the prelims, Brandon Royval versus Matt Schnell, good fight. Macy Kiasson versus Norma Dumont. Randy Brown versus Chaos Williams, that's going to be a banger. Andre Fialho versus Cameron Van Camp. And then you get to the main card. The main cards, I mean, Donald Cerrone and Joe Lozon's a great way to start any main card. But this is, I feel like this is a must win for Donald Cerrone, really. Joe Lozon's one of those fighters where for years and years, even in his better days, he picks up a few losses, picks up a few wins, goes in sort of fits and spurts here and there. But because he is so well-rounded, he's a jack of all trades, he's got all the experience in the world, and he constantly, I mean, has Joe Lozon ever been in a bad fight? Ever? It's impossible for Joe Lozon to be in a bad fight. And I feel like because he is who he is, you know, he's always safe for a job. Donald Cerrone, as much as we like him, he has also never been in a bad fight. But Donald Cerrone is, at this stage in his career, and I say that when he's in a fight with Joe Lozon, who was also in the last stage of his career, but Donald Cerrone now, At 39 years old, his recent record isn't great. He's not won a fight since 2019 when he beat the shit out of Alia Quinta, basically. In that run after that, he's been beaten by Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, Conor McGregor, Anthony Pettis and Alex Morono with a no contest in between that with Nico Price. And I mean, for you to not have a win in 3 years, fair enough. I mean, you could argue with Ferguson, Gaethje, McGregor and Pettis, you're fighting legends of the sport, top names, elite fighters. But when you get down to Nico Price and Alex Morono, I mean, Nico Price was the eye pokes, really, that told the story of that fight. And it was originally given as a majority draw, obviously, but the eye pokes were, you can't help that. You can't get away from that. And sometimes they do scar fights, unfortunately. It's just a problem with these UFC gloves. But Alex Morono, losing to Alex Morono by TKO, Alex Morono's nowhere near the top of the division. That's not a great loss, especially in the first round like that. And you do wonder now with Donald Cerrone, is he going to be able to turn back the years and throw in one last fantastic performance, or is this it? I think the conversation needs to be had with him if he loses badly. If it's a well-contested fight, it's interesting, and he has good moments in there, maybe you can make the argument for him going in there one more time. But if he loses badly this week and Donald Cerrone, I love Donald Cerrone. I've always been a massive fan of him. He's been around forever. I mean, ever since I've started following the sport, mixed martial arts, I think there's going to have to be a conversation to be had with him after this if he loses this weekend, which is a very realistic possibility. It is. Joe Lozon, crafty veteran, as good as you come, good at striking, very good with submissions. It's a tricky fight. It is a very, very tricky fight. I couldn't pick a winner. I wouldn't even want to pick a winner between them two because I feel like I was betraying the other. I love them both. But very good way to start the main card. There's no way, one thing I can confirm, that's going to be full entertainment, that fight. Mauricio, who is back, he's facing over the St. Preux. That's going to be not an important fight for light heavyweight, but interesting. Interesting, because of the way the division is now, because John Jones has left, because Daniel Cormier is no longer there, and we've got Glover Teixeira as champion. Shogun and OSP are probably thinking, if I can pick up a win here and build up a little bit of momentum, maybe I can sneak into a title shot at some stage. And OSP has got all the natural ability in the world, all the physical gifts to be able to be at the top of that division. It's just putting it together and having a bit of confidence. I think it's getting his mindset right, which is the issue. Mauricio Hua, I mean, could you imagine if he made another title run, he actually became champion again? That would be the greatest story ever in mixed martial arts. I don't care. Try me, folks. Follow me on social media, at Crystal Collins. You tell me what would be a better story than a Shogun Hua comeback. Oh, love that guy. Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson. A fight we've just been discussing. Michael Chandler is obviously in a difficult position. He came over from Bellator with much fanfare, has had some belting fights ever since he's come over. But a loss to the champion who's also fighting this weekend, Charles Oliveira, and also a loss to Justin Gaethje has left him in a slightly precarious position, particularly if he loses to Tony Ferguson, who's not on a good run himself. For Tony Ferguson, this is a must-win fight, especially with the comments he's made to the media this week, as we've just been discussing. That has put a lot of pressure onto him, and this is now a must-win fight for Tony Ferguson. No, make no mistake about it. He's lost his last three straight. Gaethje battered him. Charles Oliveira beat him, which, no shame in that, Charles Oliveira is the champion. And then a loss to Beneil Dariush. Now, you can make the argument that all three of those names are at the top of the division. Obviously, Gaethje and Charles Oliveira are going at it for the lightweight title this weekend. And Beneil Dariush could potentially be one of the next in line. Michael Chandler, another elite opponent, recently fought for the belt, could have been champion if he just stayed on top of Oliveira. I did a bit more damage in round one when he really had him hurt, but this is a must-win fight for Tony. This, if he doesn't win this weekend, that spells the end of his days as a top contender. And it could, depending on any more that gets said outside of the cage, spell the end of his UFC career. Tony Ferguson now, I think he's like 38, 39. He's getting older as well. A little bit like Donald Cerrone. He's pushing on a bit. And even though he takes tremendous care of himself, Tony, he's constantly training like 6-7 hours a day. He's an absolute psycho when it comes to training, his work rate. it's just going to be tough for him to make a comeback and really make a run at another title shot anyway, given what's going on inside and outside of the cage at his age, if he doesn't win this weekend against Michael Chandler. And if Michael Chandler loses this, that is now three straight, I believe. And that's tough. It's going to be tough for Michael Chandler to bounce back. But out of the two men, Michael Chandler could bounce back. He has time on his side. He's got enough name value. We'll see how it goes. It's an interesting fight. I couldn't pick one. I'm not even going to pick winners on this today, by the way, because I just can't. These fights are absolutely superb. And in terms of picking winners on any of these fights, it's just too close to call for some of them. But I probably would favour Michael Chandler in that one, just based off Tony Ferguson's recent run. And I think Michael Chandler's got all the tools in the bag. And the one thing that Tony Ferguson's always had over his opponents is just that mad, crazy cardio. But Justin Gaethje matched him on that front, as he always does. And Michael Chandler's got a hell of an engine on him as well. So probably going to see Michael Chandler win that one. But we'll see. We'll see. It's not going to be surprising if Tony Ferguson picks out the win. El Kukui. Rose Namajunas and Carla Esparza in the co-main. Now, for a lot of people who haven't been around the sport for long, maybe haven't followed for long, quite a few years ago, off the back of The Ultimate Fighter, this was the fight that decided the strawweight champion at the time. Now, Carla Esparza came out on top at the time, dominated the fight against Rose Namajunas, but that was a very different version of Rose Namajunas, both physically and literally. She looked entirely different. Her skill set was entirely different. And I think her mindset was entirely different. Rose Namajunas is a bit of an animal now. And this fight's really important for her legacy because this is an opportunity for her to get that one back. And if I'm going to call a winner for any fight on the card, this is where I'm going to call a winner. I don't see any way that Carla Esparza beats Rose Namajunas this weekend. It's not impossible. Obviously, she's done it before, but the Rose Namajunas that Carla Esparza fought last time was entirely different to the proposition and the problem that she's got in front of her this Saturday night. Rose Namajunas is just incredible. I know we've seen her get beat before, but she's such a phenomenal fighter. She really is so talented, so gifted. She's got so many different weapons, and her mindset and her skill set are just so far progressed from where she was on the back of that Ultimate Fighter series that I just don't give Carla Esparza the advantages anywhere. Certainly not on the feet, not on the ground. In transitions, no. I think I'd favour Rose Namajunas. In terms of mindset and confidence, physical abilities, I'd every single box you could tick, I would tick it on Rose Namajunas' side. I just think it would be a huge shock if Carla Esparza was to win this fight this weekend. Rose Namajunas all day on that one for me. And the headliner, Charles Oliveira versus Justin Gaethje. How on earth do you pick a winner in this fight? Justin Gaethje, the highlight. I mean, if there was ever a more fitting nickname for a fighter on this planet, it's never existed. Dave never existed outside of Justin Gaethje. He is the human highlight reel. He has never, ever, ever been in a fight that is below 10 out of 10 for entertainment value. Barring maybe that could be fine. But aside from that, he is just so fucking crazy. He is a madman, an absolute madman. He just walks you down and just engages. And as soon as he engages for the first time, he just doesn't stop stalking people until he gets him out of there. His leg kicks are nasty. His boxing in terms of power and speed and the way that he wins his shots and his shot selection is superb. He's just a ball of fury, Justin Gaethje. But it's not just about the fury with Justin Gaethje. The guy's actually incredibly skilled as well. In terms of his boxing is very, very good. It's something he works on all the time with Trevor Whitman. And Trevor Whitman, I mean, if you look at his stable of fighters, you can see the guy's a wizard in terms of boxing and stand-up training and mixed martial arts. And game planning, for that matter, making a game plan, which I think they would have prepared accordingly for Charles Oliveira. Justin Gaethje, obviously, as well, on the quiet, but not so much on the quiet, is an incredible wrestler, something that he doesn't use enough. I've said it loads of times in the past. He doesn't use it enough. I don't think he thinks he wants to because it would sort of dim down the entertainment value, but he doesn't... it's a disservice to himself. I'm trying to find the right way of putting it because I don't want to be disrespectful. It's a disservice to himself to leave the wrestling abilities that he has on the shelf and not use them as much as he should be doing. I certainly hope he doesn't start putting his singlet on, come in his wrestling boots and put it on show in this fight, however, because if there's one place that you don't want to be with Charles Oliveira, it's on the floor. The Bronx is a ridiculous grip. His submissions are mean. They're nasty. They're wicked. If he finds your neck from anywhere, he will take it and he will not let it go. He's one of those people where when they lock on submissions, when Charles Oliveira locks on submissions, he doesn't let them go. His jiu-jitsu is phenomenal. And that is not an area that Justin Gaethje wants to find himself in with Charles de Bronx at all. So you're going to see a lot of this fight on the feet, I think. And that's, in one way or another, could favour either man. Charles Oliveira is a entirely different striker to Justin Gaethje. He is technical. He picks his shots. And he's very methodical and precise about the way that he does things. The way that he won the fight against Michael Chandler, who's obviously also on the card this weekend, that Chet left hook that he threw, I mean, if you wanted to show someone, you wanted to coach someone how to throw a Chet left hook, you would ask them to watch footage of that fight. The way that he throws shots and puts combinations together is picture perfect. His technique is absolutely flawless. He's not a brawler. He doesn't wing shots in like Justin Gaethje. And he will look for his opportunities within that madness. Justin Gaethje seems to think that he has... Justin Gaethje seems to think that he has an advantage because he thinks that Charles Oliveira is a quitter. I would say that Charles Oliveira is not a quitter at all. We've seen him get badly hurt in fights. We've seen him get finished, of course we have. That's why his story to the top of the division was as wonderful as it was to watch. But I don't think he's a quitter at all. I think you've seen in his previous title fights and especially his current run at lightweight, he's found himself in some real moments of adversity. But there's a calm about him now that wasn't always there throughout the start of his UFC tenure, whether it was at lightweight or featherweight. There's a calm about him. There's an experience about him. You can see him processing things better now when he's in those troubling moments and he doesn't panic or get sort of bent off course the way that he used to. He's very methodical, like I said before, in the way that he's like, right, okay, got a problem. We're just going to shore up the defences here. We're going to move back to our feet. We're going to get ourselves into dominant position on the ground. Wherever we are in terms of the troubling position that we're in, we're going to get back to basics, go back to the drawing board, and then we start again. Took that round. Sometimes you lose his rounds. I mean, the Chandler fight was a perfect example of it. He lost that first round badly, but he came out of second round and he was like, it's gone, it's done and dusted. We go back to basics, we go back to the game plan. And he's disciplined. And it's going to be a really interesting clash of styles because you've got the wildness of Justin Gaethje. He's got all the physical abilities and skills in the world against the precision and just mean, wicked jiu-jitsu of Charles Oliveira. So how do you pick a winner in that one? The answer is I can't. So I'm not going to. I have no way am I going to put any bets on this weekend. The fight, apart from Rose Namajunas, the fights are too close to call. I am just going to be a very lucky mixed martial arts fan this weekend. I'm going to be sitting down with a beer and just watching the fights. And whatever happens, happens. But that headline of Charles Oliveira and Justin Gaethje, just like a lot of other fights in this card, there's no way it's going to be a bad fight. So tune in, folks. It's going to be a banger. Right, housekeeping. It's a slightly longer episode today, but I think UFC 274 deserves a little bit longer in terms of me explaining what's going on. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do. Please follow us at GuardPassMMA. We are on Twitter and we are on Instagram. If you want to follow me personally, I am at Krista Collins. Come and talk to me about mixed martial arts. Come and talk to me about boxing. I always love getting new followers and people who enjoy combat sport. So yeah, come follow us. Would love that. And if you are a fan of the show, if you are a fan of mixed martial arts and boxing and combat sports, and you want a new show to listen to, please go and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast platform. TGP, the Guard Pass, the Combat Sports Show. We are on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. We are on Acast. We are on Anchor. Any major podcast platform, we are on there. And it would massively help us if you subscribe to the show. So please do so. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care, and I'll be back tomorrow to break down Canelo Alvarez and Dimitri Bivol in the big boxing showcase that's taking place this weekend in the light heavyweight division. Peace and love.